When you wake me early in the morning, I'll say yes at the going down of the same. I'll say yes to your will, and I'll say yes to your way. I'll say yes, oh yes, 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 Lord.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you. Praise the Lord and welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall, on this wonderful Thursday afternoon. Father, we thank you and we praise you this day, knowing that you are a God of love, that you are love, that you so love the world that you gave your son. And we thank you. We thank you that your son also demonstrated in this earth realm what it means to truly love and to love unconditionally, to just be love. I pray that today during this broadcast that your children will hear, see, and feel the love that you have for them, that they will be inspired by this love, that they will be strengthened and encouraged by this love, that they will be able to stand in any season because of this love that you have for us. For we know that your perfect love drives out all fear. So thank you for the work of this broadcast, for what you do through it. And I thank you that you bless it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. On today's broadcast, I will be airing a message from a 2016 series entitled The Love Conversion. So be blessed.
Today, we are continuing on our message, The Love Conversion. So this is part two. My scripture is 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love of God, the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Amen and glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to do a summary of last week's message. If you weren't with me on the first part, in the title it says that the love conversion. Well, it's entitled The Love Conversion, and that word conversion means the act or process of changing from one form or state to another. Glory to God. And some words that mean the same thing as conversion would be change over, metamorphosis, and transformation. So as I just finished reading in 1 John 4, God is love. This is established. And in it we also learn in this chapter that we love because he first loved us. We also see that his love is expressed through his Son, and that he has given us his Spirit. He has given us a spirit of love. We see that there is no fear in love, that we are perfected by his love. God's love can be seen all through creation. When you look at the beauty of a sunset or clouds in the sky or sunrise or the beauty of mountains and trees and lakes and the myriad colors of flowers and animals, it's this beauty that comes out of God's heart that's being expressed through his creation. So his love is evidenced in creation. Also, we said that because God's love never fails, his love will take whatever is failing in our lives and transform it into victory. Hallelujah. So if there's sickness, he will transform it into health. If it's sorrow, his love will transform it to joy. If it's worry, it will be transformed to peace. If it's addictions, it'll be transformed into a state of deliverance. If it's unforgiveness, it'll be transformed into forgiveness. If it's depression, it'll be transformed into a sound mind. If it's lack, it will be transformed into abundance and so much more. This is the power of God's love that transforms our lives. Hallelujah. We also discussed that faith worketh by love. So in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any power, but only faith working through love." The only power is through faith working by love. Glory to God. We shared two stories last week. We talked about the woman with the issue of blood. She'd been dealing with this for 12 years, and she had used all of her, everything that she owned, all of her possessions to pay for cures, going to see myriad doctors, and to no success, but she had heard about Jesus. And we discussed that what she was hearing was of a Savior whose love was so powerful that he was willing to use his power and his authority on behalf of the sinner. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. And he demonstrated to her that she need not fear that she was stealing something, because she crept in through the crowd and pressed her way through and just touched his garment. And he turned in the midst of all of those people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people pressing in on him. And he singled her out. That's the kind of love that God has for us. In the midst of millions of people, or billions of people, he singles us out and demonstrates to us how perfect his love is for us. We also shared about the story of the centurion soldier and him coming to Jesus with a confidence that Jesus would heal his servant, because he understood the heart of Jesus, not just his authority and power, because, you know, plenty of people can have authority and power, but if they don't have a heart to use it to benefit you, it means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing to you if it won't be used on your behalf. But he saw the love that Jesus had, and he knew that even though Jesus, based on religious tradition, did not go into the house of a Gentile because it was considered an unclean household, he understood that he was not worthy. Glory to God. He understood the holiness of Jesus. And underneath that holiness, it brought to light his unholiness. And he said, "Lord, I'm unworthy for you to come to my house, but I understand authority and power. And when you send your word, I know that it will be done. I know that it will be done, because I'm a man that's set under authority, and I'm a man in authority." But this man, Jesus, was a man in authority, but a man with a heart of love, divine love, unconditional love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We looked in 1 Corinthians 13, and in the first part of that chapter, it talks about, you know, whether I speak in tongues, if I don't have love, or if I have the gift of faith and to move mountains but have not love, it profits nothing. It's empty. It's like a clanging cymbal. It has no real value. So even the gifts that he gives us will have no true and lasting effect. There will be no gain in using them if they are not operated by love. God's love. God's love is the engine. Hallelujah. The engine that causes everything that we do to manifest his glory in the earth. God's love frees us. He came so that we would be free. He came that we would have abundant life. He knew that we were captives under the hand of the enemy, bound because we were born into captivity. We were the Adam, that first Adam in the garden. We were his offspring, and we were born and shaped in iniquity in our mother's womb. That was the state of our being. We were born into captivity. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, glory, life that never ends. Thank you, Jesus. John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That word truth, the Greek word that is used in this scripture, meaning truth, it means what is true in any matter under consideration. So in any situation, in any matter that comes under our consideration, the truth of God is what guides it. And the truth is that God is love. The truth is that he has given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. He lives on the inside of us in the new birth. Hallelujah. Being born again of Spirit. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been transformed from death into life, resurrection. That which was dead is now alive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In this chapter 8, where I just read the scripture, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In the beginning of this chapter, you find Jesus in the temple teaching. And while he is teaching, these religious leaders come and throw a woman before him who was caught in adultery. And of course, they do this publicly in the midst of his teaching because they are actually testing what he will do before the people, because Moses' law, the law that came through Moses, says that such a one should be stoned. So they asked him, okay, Lord, what do you say? And they were trying to catch him so they would have something to use against him, because they were envious, they were jealous, they were threatened by the presence of Jesus. I love what Jesus said. He said, if anyone, and he didn't say it quickly, you know, he stooped down and he was writing on the ground. And he got up, and they asked him again. He got up and he said, if there's anyone among you who is without sin, you cast the first stone. They could not be, I mean, immediately their conscience condemned them. And they walked away. And Jesus looked down at this woman who was caught in adultery, who should have been stoned to death according to the law. But the love of God is greater. It's greater. It fulfills all of the law. And he looked down at her and he says, where are those who condemn you? And she said, there are none. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. He just empowered her by love. It gives us the power to walk out this new life that we have in Christ, having dominion over sin. We can have dominion over sin because we are trusting in the love of God that dwells on the inside of us. It's a spirit, the spirit of love that dwells on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us as we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. If you haven't heard my messages on Until We Hate the Flesh, go back out on the website, blogtalkradio.com, When Christians Speak, or go out to our Facebook page, When Christians Speak, or download our app onto When Christians Speak app onto your iPhone or your Android. Amen, amen. But this is what Jesus says in verse 18. He says to them that ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And this flesh is actually the same word that's used in the scripture that I read in Romans 8. And it says to walk by the flesh is to be is death, but if we walk by the Spirit is life. And of course, I'm paraphrasing. I wanted to see if I could pull up that scripture exactly as it appears. But anyway, I'll come back to that. I'll come back to that scripture, but I'm going to keep moving. Okay. I have the scripture. Amen. Praise God. Romans 8:6, it says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And this word flesh, the Greek word is sarx, and it means carnality, the nature, the human nature of man apart from God. Amen, amen. And so these religious men were living out their faith without love, because they lived out of their flesh. They were into the appearances. They had all the appearances of godliness, but there was no power because love was not present. And as a result of love not being present, these religious men used the law against people to weigh them down with burdens that they themselves, the burden of keeping the law, they could not even keep it. But they set themselves apart, and that's how the flesh does. The flesh, it thinks more highly of itself than it ought to, and they set themselves apart from the people as though they had obtained, and knowing in their hearts that they were not living out the law, and they adjusted the law to meet their shortcomings and their failures. But when Jesus came in, he brought in and demonstrated the purity of the law, that it's not just this outward stuff that you do, but what's going on the inside. Because even if you think or in your mind lustful thoughts for someone's wife, you've committed adultery. John 8:12 reads, "Then spake Jesus again unto them," to the religious leaders, "saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So the Father spoke to us in these last days through his Son. And the scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his Son." Jesus was the demonstration of how great the love of the Father is. He demonstrated the heart of the Father. He came to unite us back to the love of the Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So when we read the scriptures, read them through the spirit of love. 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life." The spirit of God gives life. The spirit of love gives life. In the New Living Translation, I'm going to read the entire verse 6. It says, "He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant." He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is not a covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. It is not a covenant of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death. But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. You know, I was thinking about, you know, the some of the songs that the world has written about love, and one of them is, you know, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, and not just for some, but for everyone. You know, so there's been many songs written about love, because love is the answer. We overcome evil with good, and this good comes out of God's love, because none be good but God. What is the nature of the new man, the new creation? That's who we are, those of us who believed and who have received Christ Jesus. The word tells us that as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And I read that in 1 John 4. So we're just like Jesus, which is why we are joint heirs. He was the first fruit of the new man, the spiritual man. We are no longer bound by the old man, the unregenerate man that we inherited from our first natural father, Adam. That man was nailed to the cross with Jesus. He has made all things new. The old man is dead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we are in his image, and that image is an image of love. How will the world know us? By our love for one another. The Father expressed his love through the Son, the only begotten Son. And now we who are sons and daughters, who are joint heirs with Christ Jesus, we, because we are as he is in this world, that the love of God is to be expressed through our lives. The love of God being expressed will demonstrate all manner of miraculous things in this world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It says in John 15, Jesus says, declares that he is the true vine and that we are the branches, that his Father is the husbandman, the one who tends the vineyard. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And as branches, we abide in the vine. And everything that we need to bear fruit comes out of the true vine. And what we do is remain. We stay in him. We stay aware that we are in him and that his life is flowing through us. This spirit of love is flowing through us. and we bear fruit. And what is this fruit? This is the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if you read 1 Corinthians 13, known as the love chapter, those words actually describe what love is, because love is patient and it's kind and it's gentle and it's faithful. Glory to you. Glory to you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So allowing our flesh to direct our lives, setting our mind on fleshly things, carnal things, is death to us. There's no life in it. But when we set our minds on the Spirit, and that Spirit is a spirit of love. Hallelujah. It's the Spirit of God. God is love. Then there is life. Abundant, abundant life. We bear much fruit. Much fruit. But at all costs, we must understand that who we are is God's love. Being aware that as we move through this world, that we are always demonstrating the love of God that lives on the inside of us. That we don't hold it back. We don't judge who should receive it, but we be who we are, because when we're not being who we are, we find ourselves in bondage. When we begin to judge and withhold our love and be angry and unforgiving, we are only imprisoning our own lives. It is not who we are. We are a new creation. We are born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I encourage you to continue in receiving this truth that He has loved you with an everlasting love, that there is nothing that can separate you from this love. There's nothing you can do that will separate you from this love. That this love will transform your life. You fear only when you don't understand how loved you are, because love perfects us so that we walk fearlessly and in His power and in His authority. Because we know that we are the beloved. We know that we belong to Him. We know that He is for us, so it doesn't matter who's against us. That He that lives in us is greater than he who is in the world. So we have boldness and we have confidence because of the love of God. We don't fear judgment. Because of the love of God, we know that the price has been paid for sin. We are perfected by his love. When we begin to understand just how well loved we are, we walk through this world with a confidence that cannot come from anything else. It only comes from him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you that your love is becoming more real in the lives of your people. That they understand the weapon that the enemy uses against them is the flesh. Because the flesh is at enmity with you, and it wars against their spirit. But Father, you have given us the victory through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Christ Jesus. And now we have dominion over sin. The power of love that dwells on the inside of us now gives us dominion over sin. Because we love. Because we love, it guides and directs what we think. It guides and directs our actions. I thank you, Lord, for the increased manifestation of your love in the midst of your people, that the world will know us by our love for one another. And Lord, for those who are searching, those children that you are still waiting to come unto you before you return, I thank you, Lord God, that their eyes are open right now in the name of Christ Jesus. And they see this love that is being presented before them, this love that is offering forgiveness of sin, that's offering a new life, being translated from death to life. I thank you that they receive you right now, Christ Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, right where they are. And we praise you, we thank you, we glorify your name. We know that if one comes to you, that all of heaven, the angels, they're all celebrating, hallelujah, and rejoicing for just one life that comes to you. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God. I praise you, Lord. I praise you. Well, this ends our broadcast for today. I want to encourage you to continue in this walk of love. If everything is fulfilled, all of the laws of God is fulfilled in this one law of love, let us focus. Let us narrow our focus. And understand that it is all about operating in the spirit of love. It will power our prayers. It will power our lives to read the scriptures. We will be obedient because we love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We will be fearless because we love. And we know we are loved. We are loved perfectly, lacking nothing. We are matured by your love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Don't forget to join Reverend Ray tomorrow night, Friday Night Joy at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Glory to God. And be blessed for the remaining of your day. And just meditate on this love that God has showered on you, this love that he has placed on the inside of you. Amen. God bless you.